Welcome to the Small Business Big Heart Podcast. I'm your host, Amber Zarikor. This podcast is loaded with raw stories from real people running successful businesses with heart to encourage and inspire you along your journey. We will focus on the heart behind the business, aka you, the business owner, by sharing their heart, their story, and the passion behind why they started in the first place. As a business owner myself, I'm here to remind you that in the midst of the organized chaos that comes with running a business, good things do indeed happen to good people. My goal and heart for this podcast is that you will walk away with lessons learned from people who have walked a similar journey for the inspiration to keep going. Chase that big, scary dream. Are you ready? Let's do this. Hey friends, today I am bringing you a true startup story. If you have ever struggled with comparison, I mean, honestly, don't we all? Or if you feel this fire in your heart to transform the culture of your industry, you are going to love this week's guest, Kelly Porter. Kelly is the founder and owner of Bar Roots, a truly unique fitness studio here in Nashville. Kelly's approach to bar is really special. As you'll hear through this interview, she holds multiple certifications, hosting a range of classes from spaces like her backyard to a local brewery. Homegirl is killing it. I can say from personal experience that her bar class is like having a party with your best friends. It's always accessible, always encouraging, and you always leave with a lot of sweat and a little more love for yourself. Today, Kelly and I are sitting down and talking through her startup story, and I know you're going to relate to so much of what she shares. We discuss her journey from her first bar class all the way to finding the courage to create her own studio. We talk through the expectations and the naive beliefs that we all have when starting a business and how it feels when it's not as simple as, if I just built it, they will come. I really appreciate how generous Kelly was with her story. I learned a lot about the struggle of comparison while finding her own style and culture of bar. Kelly is taking some incredible steps towards shifting toxic trends in the bar world, and it's so inspiring to see firsthand. And I know you're just going to love her infectious energy that she brings to this conversation. I got so much out of this interview, and I hope you guys do too. This chat is phenomenal with my dearest friend. Welcome, Kelly Porter. Well, I'm so glad that you could be here and to share all of your heart and wisdom from Bar Roots. But I see that you're wearing a Bills shirt. Are you a Bills fan?
I am a big Bills fan, but I'll tell you what, I married into it. You know, being from Philadelphia, everyone would assume that I'm an Eagles fan, but I was never really into football prior to. And I heard the funniest thing on the radio one time. It was like, if you want to be in a committed relationship, marry a Bills fan because they are dedicated fans, like 17 years of just loss, nothing, and they're still there. So that's what I did. And now I am drinking the Kool-Aid. And so I wear this shirt every game day.
I love it. I love it so much. Well, tell me a little bit about Bar Roots and what you guys are doing right now.
Yeah. So Bar Roots was designed to show that bar is for everyone, right? Like people have told me this in the past, so I'm not just pulling it out of my butt. But when people think bar, they kind of already get this vibe. Like it's a real bougie kind of exclusive exercise. Like it's made for a specific type of person. And I've been doing bar for several years now, and I don't feel like I am that kind of person. When I started bar, I was like in this weird space, and it helped me grow so much. So when I was getting feedback prior to Bar Roots, hearing that it was for a specific type of person, I wanted to show that it wasn't. So Bar Roots is for everyone, and I'm showing that bar is for everyone, right? It doesn't matter what your background is, you know, like what your build is, whatever. Like just show up if you want to be a stronger, more confident individual. You know, that's what Bar Roots is here for you, just to be confident, and that's about it. So, you know, originally started out in the typical space in the studio. And now just through everything that's happened in 2020, we are in a very unconventional space, but it's working out very well. Taking it online, outside, all the things.
I love that. We'll chat more about that weird space later in our conversation. Yeah. I would love to hear more about that. But I really want to know about your first bar class. Like, did you know, did you already love it? I mean, coming into that stigma or culture, how did you know and feel welcomed? Was it the studio that welcomed you in to take your first class? Or...
Okay, that's actually a really great question. So when I started, I was dealing with really bad anxiety. I was in a really weird space in my life, and like anxiety so much to the point where I would get really bad tunnel vision and it just like shortness of breath, and like I couldn't do a lot of things. And so I had been going to a therapist every Thursday at 5 o'clock. And next to my therapist's office was a bar studio. And I, for weeks, I saw the studio and I wanted to go, but I could not step foot in there myself. I couldn't do it alone. So my coworker, I asked her, I'm like, hey, would you want to go? There's a bar studio. I really want to go. Would you want to go? And she said, yes. So I went to a class with her, and I'm going to be completely honest. Like, even then, people were nice, but it wasn't like the nicest environment, you know? But it was a workout because I had never been like a gym rat. I had never been anything like that. I did like hot yoga and I did spinning, but I wasn't like a huge workout person. But this, like, I went in, and even though my butt was kicked entirely, I felt like I could do it. And so then I totally stepped out of my comfort zone. I don't even know what made me think to do this, but the next day I went alone. She didn't want to go back with me. So I went by myself, and I was in so much pain too. Like, I couldn't even grab my remote off my couch, but I still, like, I went alone. And I actually went every single day that week because I just loved it. And yet it was funny because, and I'm not dogging them at all. I mean, I started there, I worked there, and I loved it there. But I kept myself, and I never spoke to a person for like a year. I didn't talk to anybody. I just would go to class and then I'd leave. But I worked really hard and I really liked it. So I had that therapist appointment Thursday at 5. And it was funny, like the more I was able to go to these classes alone, like the more confidence I was building. So I remember I literally texted my therapist one day and I was like, hey, I think I'm good. Like, I think I'm good. I don't think I'm going to come back. I think I'm good. And she was like, really? And I'm like, yeah, because there was a bar class Thursday at 5. And so I was like, I'm good. And she was like, all right, well, call me if you need me. I'm like, okay. And I never turned back. And I just...
Sweat therapy is such a real thing.
It is a thing. Like, the endorphins get going. And then when you feel like you can master something, you're like, yes, I am on top of the world. And that's exactly what happened.
It's incredible that you switched your therapy appointment and you like grew so much personally through going through that workout that you were able to release so many endorphins and not have to go anymore. That's amazing. I feel like that's just the being able to like unplug and do something that you love and be challenged alone is so great.
It is. It was, there was a lot of growth in there, like physically and just emotionally. It was incredible, actually.
So career-wise, where were you at in that phase? Because this was now your outlet, your creative outlet, your like sanity time. Yeah. So where were you at in your career? And were you in Nashville? Where were you located?
No. So I was living, I'm from outside Philadelphia. So I was living outside Philadelphia and I was living all by myself in a one-bedroom apartment. And I was the sales manager of an assisted living community up north. I can't say it was my passion. I felt like I was helping people. I like sales, but I had fallen into the career. I did as an internship in college. And then I just like went back to the same place when I graduated. And that's where I was. And I felt a lot of pressure there. There was a huge age gap, which, you know, that's like, that's another podcast time, for my age complex, but there was a huge age gap with me and like 99% of my colleagues. So my girlfriend, Chrissy, who came with me in my first bar class, she was the only person that was my age. And outside of that, everyone was a solid 20, 25 years older than me. And so I didn't really have a lot of connection. And so then that played into some of the issues I was having, and dealing with. So then I started going to bar, and that was definitely my outlet. I mean, in the bar studio was not close to where I lived. It was like a 35-minute drive, and I did it every single day. I went every day.
Yeah. That's dedication. Awesome. There's even times when my gym is across the street and I'm like, I don't think I can make it today.
Right? Like I finally was finding something to like wake up and be really excited for, like on a Saturday, Sunday morning. And I'd be like, yeah, it was like 7:30 in the morning and I'm hustling down the road to get to class for an 8 a.m. class. So,
wow, that's so great. So how did you end up in Nashville, and did you stay in that same career path and grow in that, or?
Yeah. So, to make a long story short, I met my now husband, while we worked at the same community. I was the sales manager. He was the executive chef. We met, turns out we lived in the same town. It was a very small town. So then we started dating, but right in the beginning of our relationship, I had decided, aside from Jason, my now husband, I had decided I wanted to move to Nashville. I had visited once and I was like, I like it and I need a change. I'm in a weird part of my life. Like I need a change. I want to move. I had announced I wanted to move, told my parents. Now, mind you, I'm an only child. So what a coinky dink. My dad gets a job at Vanderbilt, right? I don't think that's a coincidence at all. I think that, you know, we're a close-knit family, the three of us, and they were not going to let me go somewhere by myself. So all of a sudden, I meet Jason, and he does, like, he was in a contracted position. So he had just gotten a new job, and he had to stay at the job for 18 months. So now he and I are up north for 18 months. My parents moved to Nashville. So they stole my thunder. They moved here before I did. So Jason and I waited 18 months. We got engaged. We got married. And then we both decided we're moving to Nashville. And because I was like new marriage, new city, owning a house, I want some consistency. So I did get a job now as a marketing director at an assisted living community in Nashville. And it was really great. It was like 3 miles down the road from my house. It was great. And I looked for a bar studio, here in town and was taking classes, found a couple other bar studios, and then we had a baby. So like my bar path kind of fizzled out a little bit because of my pregnancy and then just new mom life. And so I was still a marketing director at that point.
So what reignited this bar passion back in you if it fizzled out? And I'm sure being a mom and trying to find not only a new mom, if it already kicked your butt. So like the fitness alone there, I'm like, wow, props. But also how did you make time and reignite that passion in you for bar?
I have to be honest, there were a lot of tears involved, because prior to having our son Henry, as I mentioned, there was a bar studio in town, and I'm just not sure I found that connection there. So then I found another one that was a little further outside of town, and I thought, it's not a big deal to drive 30 minutes. It's what I did up north. But it just wasn't the same. Like, my work schedule, I couldn't get there in time. And then I had a complicated pregnancy, which kind of kicked my butt, and towards the end, I stopped working out. And so after Henry was born, I tried working out at home, right? I did like those online workouts. It wasn't bar. It was like buying into those things, like online workouts. And I wasn't feeling it, you know? And I remember I would just sit around and cry because I was like, I can't get into it. I felt like I had a buried bar, right? I was like, I had a funeral for it in my heart. I was like, I'm never going back. Right. And then, now, since Jason and I had been together, I took him to a bar class, right, when we were dating. And he was like, yeah, he came when we were dating as a true test. And because I think And it wasn't even like a theme thing, like bring your someone. Like it was just a regular Tuesday class. And I'm like, get in the car, let's go. And he got his butt whooped. But he was like, you know, you're pretty good at this. And this was like 7 years ago, he was like, you're pretty good at this, you know, like, and he had always told me like, you should consider opening up your own thing, like your own bar studio. And I'm like, have you heard of financial ruin? No, like, no, thank you. And so, anyway, I had had a funeral for Bar in my heart. I had accepted that it was never going to happen. Like, I can't even get to a workout. How am I going to do this? You know? And, I went on a walk with a good friend of mine that I might be staring at right now. And
truly?
Yes, yep. And you had asked me, you know, like, what is my dream? You asked me, it was my day off because I was working that weekend. I remember it was February. We met at the library. Henry was in a stroller. We went on a walk through the neighborhoods there. And you had asked me, like, are you happy doing what you're doing? And I was like, no. And you were like, well, what is your dream? And I told you, I was like, I really want to own a bar studio. And you're like, why don't you? And I'm like, financial ruin. I've heard of it. And I remember you were like feverishly like typing on your phone. And then you had sent me a list of questions. You're like, do you journal? And I was like, no. You're like, I know it sounds like whatever, but try it out. Answer these questions. And I just like started taking one step at a time. And it just kind of like started happening. I just reached out to some studio owners that I knew. And I was like, hey, how did you do this? You know? And people were like very willing to talk to me. And it was like one foot in front of the other. And next thing I knew, I was applying for an LLC and I was sending in my resignation letter. And yeah, just started doing it.
I have chills. I obviously know this story, but I have chills every time just thinking about you walking through that. So did you quit your job before you officially launched, or was it kind of like hand in hand tandem thing?
I definitely quit my job before I officially launched. It's funny because recently in some of these like podcasts I listen to, they're like, do it and do it messy. And I'm like, girl, I'll tell you what, I did it super messy. Like I budgeted wrong. I was like, we can afford one paycheck, budgeted wrong, quit my job and was like, here we are. But we're doing it because like, so what had happened was I connected with a studio owner here in town and was offered an opportunity that I couldn't turn down, right? It was very little overhead. It was like, I'll let you teach here, you know, and you'll pay me a portion of whatever you make, right? And it's kind of like a no-brainer. Like, yes, I'll do that, of course. And that was what I needed to get myself out of the job because also at my 9-to-5 in my marketing director position, things were just not going well. There was a lot of rearranging in the company and it wasn't going well. My stress levels were like through the roof. My blood pressure was like through the roof and being 27 or whatever, like that's awful to have high blood pressure and you're 27 years old. So it was kind of perfect timing. Like everything was aligning. It was perfect timing. So then I left. But I had to get certified. I was waiting on my certification approval. So no, to answer your question, I was not launched when I quit. I quit and it gave me time to buckle down and work on it, build up some momentum. And so I quit in May. The end of May was my last day. And then I didn't launch my classes till the end of July.
Mm. Yeah. But I think that building period is so important. And then also too, I've noticed just from conversations with other entrepreneurs that like, once you have this idea in your head, you're just like, you know that you were made for this and you're like, I'm just going to do it now.
Yeah, no. Oh my gosh. That is like the truest thing I've ever, you can't stop it. Like you hear it. I mean, even today, like being a business owner, if I get an idea, I mean, it's like, I'm a train going full speed and I will not stop until I figure it out and I get it going. Right. That is exactly it. You can't stop.
Well, it's either that or you end up talking yourself out of it and you overthink it and then you overanalyze it. And then you're like, that's a terrible idea. Even though it was a great idea, you just didn't execute it. Or I also have seen where you execute it and then it just sits and you don't actually launch it. Like there's so many ways that we could just self-sabotage as business owners that
paralysis by analysis is my favorite saying ever.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I love that so much. So you said that you got eased into it with launching your classes through another studio. So walk me through your journey of teaching there and then how you got off the ground with just your brand? How do you get the word out and your customers? I'm just curious of how you just shouted off the rooftops, hey, I'm in business.
Yeah. Okay. So the studio I was teaching out of was a Pilates studio. They, in the past, had bar classes there. So some people knew of it for bar, but it was a Pilates studio. And she was local in town. She had been here for years. So people knew of the studio. And so that was the location where I started. Had a half schedule going on. And I really started going out on Instagram, like, and I'd be following people in town and I'd reach out to people and say, hey, like, this is me. I did a launch event, like a Get Your Caboose Kick, which I just had the second annual this past weekend. Had the first one. It was free in a park that was here local to the studio. But just a lot of, was part of a networking group, the chamber here in town, and people previously know me from being the marketing director. So that did help. People knew who I was and they were interested in what am I doing now? But yeah, just really connecting with social media. And I'll tell you what though, I honestly thought, because I love bar so much, I thought like, oh, I show up on the screen, I'm a bar studio, boom, I have 10,000 followers, or like, boom, I have people wanting to know me. And oh my gosh, that is so wrong. Like that is so wrong. I really thought like, here I am and people would come to me, and it's like, it doesn't work like that at all. It's like, you got to start reaching out. You got to start making connections. So for my classes, I did like a free launch class, and then I ran like promotions just to kind of get people in the door. And I also partnered with like Tailgate Brewery, a local brewery here. And I was doing monthly classes there to try to draw people back to the studio. Yeah.
I love that combo. Beer and bar. I love it.
And there's pizza involved too. So it was great.
Oh, count me in. That sounds delightful.
Right.
So all of this is going and is obviously an awesome trajectory. And so walk me through just 2020, like in general, just as a business. I know it's hit everyone so differently and so hard, but as a fitness studio, especially with all of the guidelines and how you have to follow that. So I'm just curious for how you navigated those waters, especially as a new business owner. So you're not only trying to figure this out with everyone else, you're like, wait, I just figured out who I am and what I'm doing. So walk me through 2020 in your life right now.
It's so funny that you say that exact statement. Like, I just figured out who I am and what I'm doing, because I thought I had, and 2020 made me, I did not, it made me figure out I did not know. So I was renting space, and this is something I battled with, since day one when I launched, is that I did not look like every other bar studio. I rented space, right? And I so badly wanted to be every other bar studio, which again, I'm sprinkling tips in here. Don't try to be anybody else, you know, but I wanted that. Like, I want to have my own studio. I want to have the full schedule. I want to have the whole thing. And so beginning of 2020, I did start to look around at my own brick and mortar space. I was getting like paralysis by analysis, right? I was like, oh my gosh. I even, at the Fill Your Cup conference, I connected with another bar studio owner, Caitlin, and she had even sent me the projection that the bank needed. Like, she sent me the one that she gave to the bank. I had it all. And I still would just tunnel vision, freeze when I'd look at it. I was like, and all of a sudden we hit a pandemic. And so I did not get a brick and mortar. Thank goodness, because God was looking after me, because if I had gotten a loan to do this, I'd be real SOL right now. I'll tell you what. So I did not have a brick and mortar. With that being said, the world shut down. So I had to pull out of the studio. And so my classes stopped, and I quickly thought, all right, let's just get some online classes going. I saw a couple other people doing it. And so I was like, I sound weird, but I was in the first wave of studios around the area getting into the online space. I'd started with Facebook Live classes, and my internet, my house is so bad, I had to just switch to pre-recorded, but that was fine. And so I honestly, being really naive, I thought the pandemic was only going to be like 3 weeks long.
I think we all did.
Yeah. So I was like, hey, really cheap, one-time payment of $25. You get classes every other day. I say that now and I'm like cringing, but that's what I did. I was like, it's 3 weeks. It's fine. I want to be mindful of the fact that people are losing their jobs and they still need to move and whatever. So then I realized that this was not 3 weeks long, and life hit, right? Life hit so hard. Like, I couldn't keep up with every other day classes. Personal things were happening. And it just, I kind of took a break, right? We put our dog down. It was like 2020 has been awful. Put our dog down. I had to step back from like recording classes because like life was just like, meh. And then I thought like, okay, I'm going to go back to the studio now. Like, now Nashville's starting to open up. I'm going to go back to the studio. And to kind of give people an idea, this was a unique setting. It was an 8-person studio max. So I tried to go back. I was taking temperatures, right? I was sanitizing everything or whatever. The only thing I couldn't meet was the 50% guidelines. I knew I couldn't meet that. And for 2 weeks, I tried my schedule. I cut it back to just 3 classes a week. I tried this for 2 weeks and I realized like, this doesn't make any sense financially, paying rent. This does not make sense. So I pulled back out of the studio. So there was a lot of that. What's that hot word right now? Pivoting. There's a lot of pivoting going on.
I feel like that's almost a cuss word right now, because business owners are hearing it so much that they're like, I already pivoted, but it's like, pivot.
I know, like, I'm a breakdance on some cardboard. I keep turning and I don't know what to do. That's how I feel. So I pulled back out of the studio and I was like, now what? And then what I did is I started, I created a Vimeo account and I just started filming classes. And every week I would upload 3 new classes. And instead of doing a membership, I just broke it down. Like, if this week you think you can fit in 3 workouts, like, this is your 3 bundle. This is the price. They're active for 7 days. And then next week you get 3 more classes. And if you want to buy next week, you can. If you don't, you don't have to. In addition to that, we sit on a bunch of land. We have a big backyard. I started having outdoor classes at my house twice a week. In addition to that, I started doing privates. And then I also accidentally stumbled upon these corporate Zoom classes where I work with businesses and I offer Zoom bar classes to their employees. So all their employees from home can jump on a call and I will teach bar. So what happened was it was that pivot, 1 foot in front of the other, like, let's just keep building. And going back to where you were, like, you were just starting to find yourself and figure out who you are as a business owner. And then 2020 hit. What 2020 made me realize is I did not know prior to this who I was. And when I was forced into the most unconventional space possible is when I found myself, and I had never felt more true to my business than I do now. And I am so far from a brick and mortar. I am so far from what I thought I needed to be. And I feel more me than ever. I understand, and I say this with respect to people that really have been hit hard in COVID and it has really taken them down. But COVID was kind of a blessing for Barroots. It's what I needed.
Yeah, it stripped away all of the identity of all the other bar studios that you thought you had to fit into, and it made you find yourself.
Yeah, well, for the first time ever, I felt like I was on even playing ground, you know? I wasn't stepping into a space where people had been in their buildings for 5 years, and here I am. I don't have my own building. I have a partial schedule, and I can't explain where I am in one solid sentence. I have to kind of do it in bits and pieces. And all of a sudden, boom, we've been knocked down. We're all leveled out. We're all in this online space, and we're trying to figure it out. And I just, I feel like I did keep my head above water, and I did figure it out. So
walk me through that journey of just the messy middle of like the identity crisis of when was that aha moment of like, wait, this is what I was meant to do.
I had been like, pardon my French, I've been half-assing it, right? When I figured my $25 Facebook Live classes, when I figured out those weren't working, and then I went back in the studio, I came out, I was like kind of uploading. I was uploading Vimeo classes and I was having outdoor classes, and that was it. And my husband came home one day and he was just fit to be tied. He came home and he was like, what are you doing? He's like, all I know is that people show up twice a week to the house and you put a sign up outside. I don't know what you're doing. And he said, and mind you, Jason is very front door. That's how we that's how we explain it. You know, like he's not going to be nice about what he says. He's not going to try to cushion it. He's going to just say it to you. And it's a blessing and a curse. I appreciate him for it, but sometimes I'm like, I needed you to be nicer, but like, it's what I need to hear. And he pretty much said like, you either get your act together or you move on from this because this isn't working. And that is what I needed to hear because I kind of felt that it was okay to sit in this space and this is what we're going to do. And that's not okay as a business owner. I couldn't sit. And so I'm like, okay, here we go. This is what I'm doing. All right. And I'm like, you have to market the Vimeo classes. You have to boost your outdoor classes. You have to start to boost these private, start to explain the benefits. And then I think things really clicked when I stumbled across the corporate Zoom classes. It started to settle in like, this is who I am. I don't need to be in a bar studio to be bar. I don't need to be in a building to do bar. And I can deliver the best product possible in this space. And so, I think it took my husband telling me like, you can't have a business anymore if you don't get your act together. I think honestly, that's what it took for me to be like, okay, I think, okay. You snapped me out of it. Thank you so much. I am still a bar studio and I'm not in a studio. And that resonates with me. That settles in my soul. And I am like, I'm here for it. So
I love that. I also just admire every single spouse of an entrepreneur. It's like, hey, listen to this idea. Hey, I'm crying today. So just like, be nice to me. Or, hey, what do you want to go do? Blah, 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 blah. Like, there's so many things that they bless their hearts that they just like listen to us. And it takes a special person to be married to an entrepreneur.
It really does. Jason, if you ever hear this, like, honey, I love you so much. I know I don't give him enough credit for allowing me to quit my job and go do this. And then I get angry if he doesn't agree with something I say, you know. I'm the most difficult person. I'm like, I just want you to read my mind and say what I want, you know, and he doesn't at all. And some days it's good and some days it's bad. But ultimately, like, he has supported me even before Bar Roots was a thing. He has supported me with this. And so, yeah, it definitely takes a special person.
Would you say that starting a business has made your marriage stronger?
It's made us more honest. I'll tell you what. Yeah. Yeah, it's made us, but it has. I think I once heard, and it's so true, and actually I've never applied it to this, but I'm going to. The greatest form of therapy is just starting your own business, like better than a therapist, right? Because you have to face all of your things, right? But also, like, when you apply that to your marriage, like, you have to be really honest with each other. Like, you have to be honest about financials. You have to be honest, like, about your feelings on what you're doing. I mean, a conversation I had with Jason the other day, he's like, with these corporate classes, I had kind of sat on pitching my idea to companies with the corporate Zoom classes. And he said, okay, what are you doing? We were outside. We had put our son down. We were out back one night just hanging out. And he's like, what are you doing? For 1 month now, I've heard you talk about you're getting your pricing together and then you're going to send it out. And he's like, I heard it every week that you were doing that. It's been a month. What are you doing? And I had to like just take a deep breath. And I was like, here's the thing. It's not that I'm just selling someone's product. Like, I'm selling a water bottle that someone made. Like, it's not only a class that I made, it's me doing the class. And if someone says no, they are literally saying no to me. And it's a really big pill to swallow. And then Jason was so great because he's like, Kelly, you're great. Like, you got this. It is okay. And so, yeah, it's been, it has definitely made us stronger. It's made us fight more, but it just gets us there.
That's such an interesting thing. And I never would have thought that our conversation would go here, but with the fear of rejection as a business owner, like, especially as a solopreneur, which is now such a buzzword right now, but yes, we are business owners by ourselves, essentially, is what, when facing rejection, you think about that in dating, you think about that in like networking situations, but you don't ever think about that in the selling of your business and your services, especially for service-based businesses like yours and for Copper Heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, because it's something that you created and you're like, oh, you don't like it. It's okay. I just, I thought about it for like 17 hours and then I worked even harder on it and I lost a lot of sleep and I cried a little bit too, but it's fine that you don't like it. It's okay. You know?
Oh yeah. You really have to, when you can sell products, and I'm sure with your sales background and your marketing background, I'm sure this is all coming huge into play, but do you ever have to step back and put on your sales hat versus like your, I'm Kelly and this is me that I'm selling right now?
That's funny. I do. And that's something that I definitely learned again, coming into this, I thought like, build it and they will come, right? Like I start a bar studio and all these people come towards me and like that didn't happen. And in the first year, I had a lot of conversations with my mother specifically about like, I don't know if I can do this. You know, I don't know if this was a good idea. And I realized what my problem then was I didn't feel like my business was my own, right? I didn't feel like I had made something that I wanted. I was not in my own space. I couldn't explain it in one sentence. I couldn't say it and feel confident. Like every time I'd say I own a bar studio, I'd be like, but I don't own a studio, right? And I'd talk against myself. But coming into 2020, and now that I feel solid in what I'm doing, I do feel very confident to sell you what I do. And it's aside from the, this is me, right? And I might get rejection. I feel so confident in what I do that I will sell it to anybody and I can do that.
That's amazing. And it takes a while of that messy, like beginning of just starting clunky, doing it messy, like you said, to get to this point. Yeah. But when you try to shove yourself in a box and then you're like, wait, that's not me. And then you try a different box and you're like, wait, that's not me either. And then you just kind of stumble upon it and it's going to naturally happen if you're open to it. But if you keep trying to jam into that box, you would be miserable right now.
Yeah. And it takes time. Like, you know, I guess there are people out there, like they start and it's like, oh man, they took off in a week. Right. And all of a sudden they have this great business. In all honesty though, like I had heard something recently to give you an idea of what I'm saying. Jason's an executive chef. And so he knows a lot about the culinary industry. And it's like, it's pretty known that when you open a restaurant, that restaurant's not going to make money for like 3 years, right? It takes like 3 years to really start making money. And so I was trying to figure out like, what is the comparison to a fitness studio, right? And I never knew how to figure that out. And I finally heard something on a podcast I was listening to. And it was like, it takes about 14 months before you start to see anything moving, right? And it literally was 14 months to the day, I swear, when things started to click and I started to feel better and I started to be like, I own a business. I really actually own a business. It's not a hobby that I'm doing. Like it's a business and it's crazy. So it was that 14 months, like, and you just have to stick with it. And it's been really messy and really upsetting for a long time. you're like, but this is my dream and it doesn't feel good, but you get there. You really, really do get there.
I love that. And it's not a clean straight shot. I've never heard the 1 week launch or if I have seen it, like seeing them and being like, oh, they launched their business in a week and they look successful. That's social media. Like, you know, they took years to plan that or months to plan that just to like come off that way. It's crazy. Well, another thing that I want to talk about too is I heard you say you've talked about your husband, Jason, and your mom and all of these people that have poured into you and surrounded you along this journey. How has community and the people you surround yourself with affected you as a business owner, especially a new business owner going through this pandemic?
I love this question. Oh my gosh. Okay. So you know that saying, your vibe attracts your tribe. When I was a marketing director here, I was not very happy. And I also had no friends. You might've been like my only friend, like a true friend. God bless you. You stuck with me through all my like miserable, like wah, wah, wah stories. So like when I left that environment, I started doing something that I loved, like, oh my gosh, all of a sudden, like I'm getting like one friend and then two friends. And then I'm starting to like get people around me and not just people, but like super supportive people. And I don't think I have anyone in my life. I don't have a single person that is like a negative Nancy around me. Every single person that's in my life, like pours into me more than I ever deserve. You know what I mean? And it's like, they're just so nice. And even when I second guess myself in Barroots, which happens every week, right? Every week, I'm like, I don't think I can do this. I don't know. You know, it's one day a week. I'm like, I don't know. I can turn to any person in my life and they'll be like, you've got this. Like, you have done amazing things. You got this. And that became stronger through COVID, through the pandemic. Your vibe definitely attracts your tribe, and so much support in my life, more than I will ever deserve.
I love that. So your community is obviously pouring into you huge. Is that just business-wise?
Oh gosh. I mean, like, everyone in my life, friends, family, whatever, everyone, everything, is they're all so supportive of Barroots. And I feel like going back to starting your own business is the strongest form of therapy. I have never felt more confident in myself in my entire life. So just having that sense of confidence and knowing who I am has like made any relationship that I create that much stronger. Because when I feel like when I was really uncertain about myself, I have like uncertain relationships, like I'm not sure, and they like fizzle out, you know? So as a result of my confidence being grown through this whole process, any relationship I have is like a super strong relationship, which has been amazing. And I've learned how to give to people and receive from people through doing this. Does that make sense? Like, I understand the importance of giving to people, because when people have poured into me, I know what that means. And so now I know how to do it back. And I don't think I really knew how to do that before. And giving to people, I know when people like support me and help me and give to me, I know how to reciprocate that now, outside of business as well.
I love that. I feel like that's a lot of maturity too, of seeing where this person is. It's a mutual friendship. It's a mutual relationship where you're pouring into each other, and you're challenging each other to be the best version of yourself and to stay positive and keep moving, but also sitting in the hard moments. And it's like, when you look at your younger self, you're like, why did I carry these collection of humans along with me through this journey? And they just brought me down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that, I feel like that goes off the saying of like, you're a collection of your five closest friends. Like, you're a variation of a little bit of each of them. And so when you have all these positive people pouring into you, you're like, of course you're going to be confident and excited, because you have all these people in your corner.
That is so true. Yeah.
Very cool. What do you envision for the future of Barroots? Where do you see it going, and how do you plan on continually breaking the stigma?
Oh my gosh. Okay. That goes to like, kind of like into like the big scary dream, right? I want Barroots to grow outside of Nashville. I know what I discovered during all of this is there is an issue with the culture of bar. There is a huge issue. And at first I was like, I want to make my own method, right? And like, I want to teach the Barroots method. And while, yeah, that might be great to do someday, I'm like, that wasn't what my issue was. My issue was how people treat people and how people make people feel. So this is my like, you know, 5-year plan. I want to ultimately create a Barroots community culture guide that studios use. And you can teach whatever method you want, but this is going to teach you how to treat people, how to make people feel welcome, how to make people feel like their best selves. And it's little things that a lot of people don't do. You know, that feeling like when you walk into a store, like a clothing store or a bar studio, and I hate to say it, guys can do it too, but it mostly happens with girls. Say there's two girls at the counter and you're shopping around or you're looking around and you see them like whispering to each other, right? And then look at you, and then the giggle and the whisper and look at you. And then you like walk up to the counter and you're like, I'm ready for my purchase. And they're like, and they look at you and they're like, can we help you? That feeling that you get, I mean, that is like, I want to squash that. And that's not how you treat people. That's not what you do. So I want to create the bar community culture, and I want studios like big goals globally to use it. And it's just, there are things that you have to follow, and it's how you treat people to make them feel good and how to help people succeed and just, yeah, be nice to people.
I love that. We've all been on the other side of that and felt that pressure and like, why are you being rude to me? You don't know me and I'm smiling and I'm very nice. Like,
well, it makes you like run down the list of things. Like you're like, oh my gosh, like, you know, do I have a booger or like what happened? Do I smell? Did I fart? Like, what did I do? You know? And then you just want to be like, just tell me so I can correct it. And like, they'll never tell you, you know, and you're like, this is not helpful. And so yeah, but little things like something that, and I want this, what I would package in, something that I do, not just try, I do it, is I know all of my clients. I know who they are. I know what they do for a living. I know if they have dogs. I know if they have kids. I know it all. I text them. I will actually like become their friend. And that's something like disclaimer, if you ever come to Bar Roots and you don't want a friend, don't come, right? Because like, you're going to leave with a friend for me. But that's something that like everybody needs to do. I can't tell you. Here's my thing. I hold multiple bar certifications, right? So if I belong anywhere in the universe, it's in a bar studio. When I travel, I like to go to bar studios to get a workout, but I also like to, I like to see other studios physically. I like to see the modality, see what they do or whatever. And I, unfortunately, more times than not, have walked into a bar studio and I have felt like I don't belong. And so imagine this. Imagine me holding multiple certifications. I do this for a living and I can walk in and don't feel like I belong. Imagine someone who has never done bar before and they are just a sales manager somewhere and they walk in. How do they feel? That's awful. That is so awful. And through this journey, I have had people tell me, I'd be like, have you done bar before? And they're like, I did it once. And I'm like, oh, and they're like, I just like, I didn't feel like, maybe it was a studio. You know, I literally had someone tell me that I think it was a studio. I don't know. And I'm like, that's the most upsetting thing I've ever heard in my entire life. And so, yeah, big goals, what I'd like to do with Bar Roots. I'd like to continue teaching because that's what I love to do, but I want to create a culture guide. So people know how to treat people.
I love that. Oh, change the world. You go change the world, girl.
One bar studio at a time.
Amen. I think that this is stepping into really shifting something way bigger than you ever thought it would be. So I love that.
Yes. On that walk you and I went on, you know, when you were typing up my questions, I never thought I'd be saying this today, but here I am.
So proud of you. Full circle. Well, to wrap this up, and just kind of thank you again for just pouring out your heart, sharing your story. We just applaud that. And I appreciate your vulnerability. I think it's huge and it's going to encourage so many others. In encouragement, do you have any advice for fellow business owners or maybe someone wanting to start their own fitness studio one day?
Yeah. My biggest piece, and I kind of talked about earlier, was, and I know it sounds cheesy, but let me explain. Do not compare yourself to any other studio. I mean, don't even, I guess in the most mild sense, you have to do some market research in the area and you have to kind of use them as a measuring guide, but don't ever compare yourself to anyone else because it will hold you back entirely. I mean, that would be your biggest obstacle, comparison. As I was saying, like when I got out of that mindset thinking that I had to be in a studio, all of a sudden everything clicked, everything lit on fire in the best way possible. And I started making giant moves. And it was the minute that I let go of trying to be like everybody else. You know, I mean, even like social media posts, you know, you try to make them look like your competitors or look like other things. And then they actually just like, womp, womp, like they're not good. When you stay true to like, why did you start this? What are you doing? Who are you? You're going to flourish. It's going to be amazing. So my piece of advice would be don't ever be like anyone else. Don't even try to do an ounce of that. And that's what's going to be your biggest strength is when you just are yourself.
Preach, sister, preach it. I love that. I think whether you're a business owner or not, I think we can all just sit in that and appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, definitely. Preach.
Well, thank you, Kelly Porter from Bar Roots, for being with us today. We're so excited. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, and let us know, where can our listeners find you online?
Yes. So social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook, Bar Roots. You can find me at barroots.com. and look for me on YouTube in the near future.
So that's amazing. But what if I want to take a class? Where do I go? Is that on your website?
It is on my website. In the upper corner, you go to my website and you're going to see book a class, and you just click there, see my schedule, and you pick which class you want to come to. You'll also see that you have the online classes as well. You click book a class, you'll see the Vimeo options. Every option you have to take a class with me will be listed there.
Love it. Well, I'm ready to get my butt kicked. That's for sure. Perfect. But thank you so much, Kelly. And we will talk to you soon.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks.
Hi there. Amber here. If you're loving the show, go find that little subscribe button on your podcast app. This will ensure that you won't miss a single episode. Until next time.